This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is indeed Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. We are here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, your smart speaker. Bob Wischusen sitting in with, by far, the hardest working man in show business, Chris Candy. I turned my radio on this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm on my way to work out. Who is on the air? Chris Candy. I get back in my car at like 7:30, 7:45. Who's on the air? Chris Candy. Then a new show starts. J. Will Zubin. The next show that clicks over, at least on 98.7 in New York, who's their first guest? Chris Candy. Now the Barton Hahn Show is on this afternoon. And who's back on the air? Chris Candy, you're unbelievable. You are a machine. Do you sleep? Like, how do you do this?
I don't sleep very well, B.O.B., especially with those 2:30 a.m. wake-ups, man. People been telling me when you do morning drive, you'll get used to it after a while. I'm still waiting on that to happen. I'm 3 months in, and I'm still not used to getting up that early in the morning.
You nailed it. I did radio down in Miami when I first got started. I got put on morning drive. I did morning drive for a year and a half. There is just something unnatural about your alarm going off at like 3:45 in the morning and then being asked to get up. I agree with you. No matter how long you do it, it just never registers with your body clock the right way. Are you feeling okay, though?
Not at all.
How's that whole wackadoodle new schedule? No, not at all.
Listen, I'm still not right behind it, B.O.B., but you know what? It is what it is, man. We get to talk about sports for a living, so I'm not going to do too much complaining about it.
That's exactly right. Nobody wants to hear us complain about our jobs. All right, let's get right to it. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We will get to the telephones, obviously, at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. There are a lot of topics to get to. NCAA tournament begins, 12:15, the first game. I think Virginia Tech is a very live 10 seed taking on Florida, so we'll talk, obviously, if the NCAA tournament comes up with you, we can get into that. And we'll keep you updated on the scores throughout the show as well. Russell Wilson trade rumors are still out there. It's still a topic of discussion. We'll get into that. And where are some of these free agent wide receivers going to end up? Like the Kenny Galladay's, Juju Smith-Schuster's, where's the price? How many teams involved? But CC, the biggest topic, it still seems right now, is where Deshaun Watson is going to land. And now there is a whole new and much more uncomfortable arm to this story that we have no choice but to get into it. We don't want to trivialize this at all and make it seem like we're talking about something that's more important than it is. We're a sports show, so we're going to talk about its impact on football. But how do you think Deshaun Watson, potential legal troubles, is now going to impact his landing spot, how the NFL views him, and where all this stands? Because this is a whole different way of looking at the Deshaun Watson story. It's a lot of fun to talk about football. It's not fun, obviously, to talk about this.
No, it's not fun to talk about this at all, Bob. And, I mean, I guess the best word to use to describe the situation is ugly. And you're adding this on top of an already ugly situation with the Houston Texans and that adversarial relationship between the quarterback and his team. So I don't think this helps things for Deshaun Watson in terms of being able to move on, because teams have to do their due diligence. I know the NFL has launched an investigation into the allegations, but I just want to make sure that everybody out there is careful and not making judgments, you know, in the court of public opinion. I know people have a tendency to do that, but Deshaun Watson deserves the presumption of innocence, just like the accusers deserve to be believed and have those allegations investigated. So I just think that we have to be careful when it comes to trying to pick a side and saying who's right and who's wrong, because the truth of the matter is we just don't have enough information right now.
Yep, and obviously for a sports fan out there, I'm sure 99% of you know what's going on, but for those of you that might, for whatever reason, had a lot going on in your lives, there are allegations leveled against Deshaun Watson. It started off with one woman who alleged inappropriate conduct in a massage situation. Now it has reached three lawsuits and potentially nine accusers, according to the lawyer that is representing all of these potential plaintiffs. The NFL is investigating the matter. Deshaun Watson has denied the allegations, and we haven't heard much from him the last couple of days, but that might be because his lawyer and, the NFL obviously is now going to get involved. And Adam Schefter was on Get Up earlier this morning. I don't see, he was on your show, DCR, here in New York on 98.7 as well. I think he basically said the same thing with you guys that he said on Get Up. So let's listen to what Adam Schefter's kind of wide-angle view is of where the Deshaun Watson situation has now gone in the NFL.
think it's important to point out that no criminal charges have been filed. And we need to hear more about these particular situations before we reach any conclusions, which is why nobody should jump to any right now. In terms of the NFL is monitoring the situation, as it always does. And when we talk about teams that would be interested in Deshaun Watson, I think that they also are monitoring the situation, gathering information. They will be in consultation with the NFL office. But I don't think that this is going to deter anybody's interest in Deshaun Watson if they are or considering a trade for him.
Now, the last thing he said, Chris, and I think he said the exact same thing on your show earlier today, I think the most interesting. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the teams that could be in the bidding for Deshaun Watson, assuming eventually he gets traded, are now not going to be influenced by this situation and whether or not it gets adjudicated before draft day?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Shefty is as plugged in as anybody to the National Football League, and the fact that he doesn't think it's going to deter teams from trying to pursue Deshaun Watson, I think that says a lot about where NFL teams are, and that speaks to the talent level that Deshaun has. Now, does this add another layer on top of it? It absolutely does, and teams have to do due diligence. They have to do their homework and make sure that they're comfortable with the information that comes out in the investigation. But we know that this is a quarterback-starved league, Bob. You know that teams are always after quarterbacks, especially when you think about an elite quarterback, somebody that's a top-five player at the position at 25 years old, that's under contract for the next 5 years, and that has a cap hit around $10 million in 2021. So there's a lot of teams that are lined up to try to get Deshaun Watson from the Houston Texans, but these allegations are going to make it a little more cumbersome in terms of them getting comfortable with the idea of trading for him and the compensation that will be going back to Houston.
Yep. I think it's complicated, as you said, because he's a quarterback. You know, there's a different forward-facing CEO-level type of recognizability to a quarterback with organizations, and I'm wondering, you know, playing devil's advocate, Adam Schefter doesn't think that the teams that may or may not be in the bidding for Deshaun Watson will be affected by this. You're 100% right. We have to allow this to play out. These women deserve to be heard, and at the same time, Deshaun Watson deserves innocent until proven guilty. That's the way it works in our country. With all of that being said, you're sitting around that table at Panthers camp, at Jets camp, at 49ers camp, wherever. Any of these teams that may be willing to give up monumental compensation to go get Deshaun Watson, I have to think this is a topic of conversation. I mean, I agree that maybe Adam Schefter, as plugged in as he is, has not gotten any indication that the price might come down or be altered or teams might not be interested. But this is something that gets talked about. It has to, right?
Oh, no question about it, Bob. And I asked Adam about this morning, point blank, like, what's the timeline on the NFL's investigation? He said it's so early, it's really hard to tell. But when it comes to matters of this nature, think of it in months, not weeks. Like, that was what he kind of insinuated on my show. So this is not something that we're going to have a definitive conclusion on by the time draft day rolls around. So I go back to, again, the information that does trickle out in the preliminary stages of the investigation, that's going to be significant for teams that are considering making a move for Deshaun Watson, because it might be something that you have to get comfortable with if the Texans want to make a deal before draft day so they have some draft pick compensation, so they have some assets to replenish their roster. If they want to make a deal by draft day, this might be something that the team trading for Deshaun Watson has to get comfortable with prior to, because they might be forced to be in a position where they're making a deal without there being a real resolution to all of these allegations.
Yeah, I mean, the least important element of all of this is football. It's Deshaun Watson's life. It's what we do, but it is still sports. The biggest element of this is Deshaun Watson being falsely accused, or did something happen, and are these women legitimate victims of a crime? That, to me, is on a scale of 1 to 10, an 11. In terms of the importance, what we're talking about is, you know, a 2 or a 3 on the scale of 1 to 10. We're talking about sports. We're talking about the impact it's going to have on an NFL franchise. But that's what we do. And if you're in one of those conference rooms running these billion-dollar corporations where your most forward-facing person outside of your head coach is your quarterback, and in many cases the most forward-facing person in your organization, more so than the owner, the general manager, any other player on the team, is the quarterback, this is a very serious conversation. And I think if I'm sitting at that table, especially the world that we live in now, where I think we have moved more towards hearing women, rightfully so, listening to accusations like this in a way that maybe 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, in the masculine world of sports, we would just dust this away. Oh, there's a gold digger coming after Deshaun Watson. She just wants money. No. I mean, now we've seen enough examples over the years where we know there's oftentimes there can be truth to these kinds of allegations. This deserves to be heard, deserves to be thoroughly investigated. And you're right. Are we going to arrive at draft day? This is still out there. And then what do these teams do and how do they approach it? And it could vary team to team, market to market. You know, there might be certain people in the decision-making process of one team that are even more sensitive to, you know, making a move towards Deshaun Watson. I don't know. I would be very interested to be a fly on the wall in some of these draft rooms or in some of these conference rooms with the decision-makers to hear how this is talked about when the decision has to be made. And does it affect the compensation? You know, is that another way that this could be approached with Houston? Look, we're willing to trade for Deshaun Watson, but we need a safety net here in case all of a sudden he's suspended or there's, you know, truth behind these allegations. There's a lot of different tentacles to this story, and I'm not sure, you know, which one is going to rise up. What do you think?
No, yeah, that's the thing. We don't know where this thing is going to lead. We don't know where the investigation is going to take the NFL. But I do know this, from Deshaun Watson's perspective, he's got to cooperate with the investigation. And I assume that he would. When these initial allegations surfaced, he talked about wanting to clear his name. He didn't want to settle when the attorney, Tony Busby, approached him with a six-figure settlement option. And so I think this is something that Deshaun Watson is intent on fighting. But a part of that has to be cooperation on both sides in order to get to the facts of the matter. And then I think we can make judgments from there. But more importantly, the teams that are going to ultimately decide whether they're in or out on Deshaun Watson, they can make a determination on what they want to do and figure out a game plan. But I got to think about this, man. If I was in a general manager's chair or if I was a coach and Deshaun Watson was on the table and the uncertainty of these allegations is still out there, I don't know that you're talking about the same level of compensation had these allegations not come out. I mean, you're talking about teams offering three first-round picks plus for Deshaun Watson prior to this week, and now I got to think that there have got to be some teams out there that hesitate because of what you said, the quarterback being a CEO, being a face of the franchise. That's tough to digest that, you know, coming off of these types of allegations in certain markets around the country. So I just think that this is a very complicated matter, and ultimately it's going to come down to teams' comfort level with what they find in the investigation.
Yeah, and you're right. There's a very good chance that that decision is going to have to be made by one of these teams before they've got all the facts, just based on the NFL timing of it. Right? I mean, if you're going to be trading Deshaun Watson and the Texans need his replacement, they're going to want his replacement in this draft, and they're going to want his replacement to be of the teams that have a pick that's high enough that they might be able to go and get that replacement in this draft. And as Adam Schefter said, months, not weeks. Well, it's only weeks until the draft. So you wonder also, as we continue with the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, Bob Wischusen and Chris Canty in for Barton Hahn. Does this now take some teams and reroute their view towards Russell Wilson? I mean, the Russell Wilson trade rumors, I don't even know how you want to put it. Are they rumors? Have the Seahawks allowed these to fester to the point that, and I know Adam Schefter talked about this as well, that this is not something new. The discontent between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, this festered for a while and has now kind of bubbled to the surface and become more public. But now do you reroute your view if you're one of these teams that wants to maybe reset their franchise and go trade for a quarterback and trade for a 6 or 7 year older quarterback in Russell Wilson? But now there are not legal ramifications if you were to investigate that type of a trade. And what would you give up for Russell Wilson? And, you know, does this expand the market for him? And would Seattle even consider trading him? You know, all that's up in the air. It's a lot of balls up in the air here.
Well, here's the thing, Bob. I think Seattle will consider trading him because they discussed some basic parameters with the Chicago Bears on what a trade would look like. And the fact that the conversation got that far along lets me know that Pete Carroll and John Snyder have thought about life after Russell Wilson. Now, I think the bigger question is, would Russell Wilson be willing to expand the list of teams that he's considering? Because when his agent spoke, his agent said that there were four teams that Russell Wilson would waive his no-trade clause for. Well, now, are we talking about Russell Wilson being willing to waive his no-trade for teams that would be at the top of this year's draft, so that the Seahawks would have a pathway to be able to add a young quarterback? Are we talking about Russell Wilson being willing to waive his no-trade for teams that already have a young quarterback that are looking to upgrade? So I think that's the bigger question. And until we really hear anything from Russell Wilson, I don't think the Seahawks are going to have any urgency to make a move.
Bob Schuster and Chris Candy in for Barton Hahn. You know, the other thing going on in the NFL, we could touch on this before we get to the phones, at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The market for wide receivers. You know, are you a Giant fan that's angry that Kenny Golladay got out of the building? Or are you now starting to see that the market for these wide receivers, with, again, the depth of wide receivers in the draft, leads you to believe that maybe the Giants are being just as patient as they ought to be, even though now I heard the Ravens, the Bengals, you get other teams knocking on Kenny Golladay's door?
Well, here's the thing, B.O.B. You know, I'm a big fan of the New York Giants, former player, won a Super Bowl with that franchise in 2011. So I want good things for the Giants, and I thought that Kenny Golladay should have been a big part of their free agent plans when the new league year started. So the fact that they were able to bring him in for a visit after he visited with Chicago, after the Bengals put an offer on the table, I was excited about it. I look at Kenny Golladay as an opportunity for the Giants to be able to answer the question on whether or not they have a true franchise quarterback in Daniel Jones. So even though we're talking about a depressed wide receiver market and the Giants making sure that they could get good value for the player, I think the importance of what Kenny Golladay helps you do in this upcoming season outweighs, you know, being a bargain shopper. I think that Dave Gettleman has got to look at this as an opportunity to answer whether or not Daniel Jones is going to be their quarterback moving forward. This is his third year, and as Bill Parcells, my former coach, used to say, I give a player 3 years to show me what he can do, and then I'm going to make a determination. This is a huge year for Daniel Jones, and a part of being able to answer the question of whether or not he can do the job, it has to be able to have the supporting cast that's available to him to be able to help answer those questions. He's got to have wide receivers, guys outside the numbers that can dictate front and coverage. He's got the offensive line kind of retooled and reworked. He'll have Saquon Barkley back healthy. So I think there really won't be any excuses for Daniel Jones if you were to be able to go out and land Kenny Golladay in free agency.
Yeah, something we're going to get into later, obviously, on the play-by-play guy of the Jets. And Chris Canty just, and everybody on his show, you know, DiPietro and Rothenberg, they just absolutely destroy the Jets routinely. And, you know, they dump all over Sam Darnold. And I really it's just the nature of all three guys on that show is they just don't want Jet fans to have nice things. So we definitely have to get into that later, like where you've got rings, you played for the Giants. The Jets have never been a threat to your world. And somehow they're still, like, I'm just going to dump on the Jets every chance I get. I know we're low-hanging fruit. And you know, it's easy to do that. But I do
Bob, I'm not going to let you get away with what you're saying right now, because when I was a player with the Giants, all I heard about was the Jets going to back-to-back AFC title games and how 2011 was going to be their year. And it came down to that Christmas Eve game, Rex Ryan and Bart Scott talking trash. And do you remember what happened in that game, Bart? Bob, do you remember what happened? I know Bart remembers it. Do you remember what happened in that game?
I don't even know if I remember the championship games at this point, much less that game. So, I think I've just blocked all of this out.
Okay, you blocked it out. I know it's a painful memory, but Victor Cruz had a
– I know. Cold sweat.
Victor Cruz had a 99-yard touchdown run.
Running through my dreams.
Exactly. Yes. And that was the game that kind of springboarded our title run. We never lost a game after that. So, I'm just saying, it wasn't us that started the trash talking. It was you guys on the Jets side that started the trash talking. We just ended it.
Yeah, you don't like us, and you never did. Even before that, I can tell. The venom goes a lot deeper than that. But we're going to get into that. Bob Schuster and Chris Canty in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. We'll get to the phones when we come back. Look, there's a lot of different ways that you can touch on big NFL topics right now. Deshaun Watson, his legal troubles, potential legal troubles, innocent until proven guilty, but at the same time, the victims must be heard, and how that impacts where he may end up. Does that have some kind of a trickle-down effect on how teams deal with Russell Wilson? You got wide receivers out there, a lot of different free agents still on the market. You've got a team out there, and you want to talk about who you think your team should sign. feel free to give us a call. We will get into all of it. And for DIY projects, you know the Home Depot is always in your corner. And with the mobile app, the Home Depot can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, just snap a picture of something, the app will recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And the Home Depot's product locator will check availability and lead you right into it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Bob Wischus and Chris Canty in for Barton Hahn. We'll come right back. We'll hit the phones and continue to dig into CeCe's Jet psychosis. That's coming up on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Bob Wischus and Chris Canty in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. You can always get us on the Listen tab on the ESPN app as well. Get a live radio option if you go down to the More section down in your ESPN app. And our show is here. You're on the telephones. Let's get to you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's start things off with Gene in Pennsylvania. I think it's Gino in Pennsylvania joins us first here on ESPN Radio. Bob and CeCe in for Barton Hahn. What's up, Gino?
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call. This goes for the big man, Chris Canty. I'm a longtime New York Giants fan, was there for those great runs, playoff runs. My main thing was I like watching him out there on the field. He was always the biggest guy on the field, huge part of the defense. But my question was, with Drew Brees' retirement and all the accolades that he gets and how good he is, I don't want to take anything away from him, nice guy and all. But what about Eli, man? You were there for those playoff runs. You saw the blood and sweat and tears that Eli went through, beating Aaron Rodgers, MVP Aaron Rodgers, then going and laying it all out on his line. It looked like they were going to have to carry him off against the 49ers. Put some light, just tell these people some facts about Eli. Let them know about him and his first ticket Hall of Famer.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not sure he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he'll certainly be in the conversation, and he'll definitely at some point wear a gold jacket. I mean, when you start thinking about Eli Manning's legacy.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You think about the postseason, some of the performances that he had. The one that sticks out in my mind was the NFC Championship game in 2011 when he took an absolute beating out in Candlestick against that 49ers front seven and still was able to find a way to come up and make the plays down the stretch to give us an opportunity in overtime to win that game. So, I mean, Eli Manning is a special quarterback. His postseason resume in comparison to his peers when he played, it's as good as anybody. So, you got to give respect where respect is due. And then the fact that in 2007 he was able to knock off Tom Brady and the undefeated Patriots, that's just another feather in the cap of a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? Eli's a Hall of Famer. And this is coming from a Jets guy. Eli's a Hall of Famer. There are different barometers we use for Hall of Famers, and sometimes it's statistical. Well, Eli checks those boxes. Obviously, if you're just looking at him as a stats-accumulating quarterback, he has accumulated the stats necessary to be compared with greats. Now, is he on the same level even as some of the guys who his stats compare to? No, I get that. But there should be some Hall of Fame level recognition for doing something that no one else has ever done. And beating those Patriot teams and winning the MVP in both of those Super Bowls? I mean, find two more impressive victories for any quarterback in Super Bowl history than those two. Even all of the victories that Tom Brady has accumulated. In a lot of those games, we expected the Patriots to win. We didn't expect you guys to win those games. So, to me, that needs to count for something when you're talking about Eli going to camp.
Yeah, one of the things we said as players is you make your money in the regular season and you build your legacy in the postseason. And there's something to be said for being at your best when your best is required, having that competitive greatness. And Eli Manning, in the biggest moments, you saw that he was able to come through. I mean, the throw that he made to Mario Manningham on the go-ahead drive in Super Bowl 46, I mean, there's only a handful of quarterbacks that can make that throw at that time. I mean, the throw that he had to David Tyree, being able to hang in the pocket just to get that ball off. I mean, you're talking about iconic plays in Super Bowl history, and Eli Manning was able to come through for him in pressure situations. So I think you got to give him his props just off of the strength of that alone.
Well, I just want it on the record that the Jet guy just said all of that about Eli, so that when we bring up the Jet quarterback situation, which I want to talk about with you because I know you guys kick this around on your show a lot. What should the Jets do with the number two pick? Deshaun Watson, Sam Darnold. When we bring Sam Darnold up later and your, like, irrational hatred starts to come back, I just want you, then for that moment, just flash back to what I just had the benevolence to say about Eli. And I don't know, maybe, you know, just keep that in mind.
It's really not hate. It's just that I know a quarterback when I see it. So when we start talking about the Jets situation – there hasn't been a whole lot of great quarterback play to speak of. You can't get mad at me for that. I'm not the one drafting these guys. I know the truth hurts, man. It's hard to accept it. You know, it is what it is. I mean, there are brighter days ahead, though. I do believe that you have a competent general manager, and I'm excited about Rob Saleh as your new head coach. So we'll see where this new regime takes it.
I'll wrap my arms around that a little bit. But I still want to get after you about some of the stuff you guys have said about the Jets on your show. But let's get to Chad in Dallas. Joins us next year on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Bob Wischusen and Chris Canty in for Barton Hahn. What's up, Chad?
Hey, not much. Thanks for taking my call, guys. And I was just going to say that there's an elephant in the room with the Deshaun Watson situation. It seems like nobody wants to address, and I understand that. First and foremost, these women need to be heard. Their voices need to be heard, and that can't be taken lightly. But the one thing we've learned over the past couple of years is the Houston Texans are a dumpster fire. So I hope the NFL is taking these allegations seriously and they're keeping their eyes open and all that. But I also hope that they're on the side open to the possibility of seeing this connection with this attorney in Houston to the front office in the Texans, because I think it's a fair question to ask, is the Houston Texans responsible for any of this stuff, these allegations being made, to try to drop down his trade value so they can keep him there? That's a question that I think it's fair to ask. I mean, it sure seems odd to me that from the moment he stepped on as a freshman at Clemson, all you've heard about this guy, he's an upstanding individual, class act. He's the kind of guy you want on your team. But the moment he starts demanding a trade, now all of this happens. And keep in mind, this isn't criminal investigations. This is all just civil stuff just to drag his name down.
Well, the uncomfortable part about all of this is that we just don't know. Like, we're saying that this is just allegations and it's on the civil side, but there are a lot of different reasons why women in these types of instances, when it comes to cases of sexual misconduct, will elect to go the civil route as opposed to the criminal route. I don't want to get into all of that, and I think that there are better minds out there to speak on the subject matter, but we can't be dismissive of their perspective. Now, when it comes to the attorney and the relationship with the Houston Texans owner, Cal McNair, I do find it a bit, you know, a curious coincidence. The fact that they are neighbors. But when you start thinking about all the conspiracy theories, it doesn't serve the Texans to have Deshaun Watson in the mix with all of this, because it can't help his trade value on the marketplace. It doesn't serve any purpose for them. So I don't know if we can go down the road of the conspiracy theories and giving them any validity. I just don't think it makes a whole lot of sense from the organization's perspective.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, where, in what scenario, if this all turned out to be true, would this benefit Houston? And why would they want to perpetuate, as you said, a conspiracy theory? It either lowers his trade value or keeps an unhappy player on their roster that doesn't want to be there and now has a stain on his name. I mean, I would think that the Texans would be rooting for this to not be true from Deshaun Watson's behalf as much as any other football fan would be rooting for this not to be true.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they've got to maximize the value that they're going to get in return for Deshaun Watson. Bob, I don't know where you come down on this, but I'm convinced that Deshaun Watson will never take another snap for the Houston Texans. I think he's done playing for him. So if you're Nick Caserio, if you're Dave Culley, you're going to try to maximize the value that you're going to get in return for Deshaun because you got to rebuild your franchise. Tyrod Taylor, they just signed him in free agency. I don't think he's anything more than a bridge quarterback to whoever their future is at the position. So I think, you know, for them to be mixed up in some kind of conspiracy to try to sully Deshaun Watson's name, it doesn't make any sense.
Yep, I said the exact same thing the other day. I mean, removing all of the allegations against Deshaun Watson and just looking at this from a football perspective, there's no question that the least lousy outcome for this for Houston is a trade. The worst outcome is now you get into this game of chicken and Deshaun Watson sits out a year, and then nobody wins. So to me, at some point, you have to come to your senses and look at each other in that room, if you're Nick Caserio and the staff, and going, guys, he's not playing for us again. I mean, so what do? We maximize his trade value, and we start over with someone who wants to be here. I'm with you 100% as ESPN Radio continues to be brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. I'm going to bust Chris Candy's hump about Sam Darnold in just a moment. At the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Mike Tannenbaum because he'll bring a very interesting perspective to all of this as someone who's been in the room and had these discussions, and now you introduce a whole different storyline with Deshaun Watson and how a team talks about that. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a variety of daily fantasy contests with cash prizes up for grabs. Contests include golf, MMA, soccer events. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap, then sit back and watch your points pile up. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BART. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code BART, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Bob Wischusen, Chris Canty, in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Bob Wischusen, Chris Canty, in for Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and it's brought to you by Goodyear, celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Mike Tannenbaum's going to join us at the top of the next hour, so we'll do plenty more football then. And obviously, March Madness is underway. I told you right at the start of the show, let me check the latest score, that we had a live 10 seed, Virginia Tech taking on Florida, and Virginia Tech has an 8-point lead with 7 minutes to go in the first half of game number one. Colgate, Arkansas is just underway. All right, CeCe. Give the bracket busters out there the CC inside look. Who jumped out at you? Like, don't tell me, I like Gonzaga. We all like Gonzaga. Give me the dark horse team, the bracket busting team that you think has a chance to maybe make a run and bust other people's brackets.
Well, I don't know how much of a bracket buster this is going to be or a dark horse, but I really like the way that Georgetown is playing right now with Pat Ewing. Being able to win that conference tournament and get back to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2015. Just that resurgence of that program and the way that he's got them playing. I mean, they blasted Creighton in the Big East tournament final. I mean, that game wasn't even competitive. Just the way that they're able to rebound the ball, front line size, the way they play defense. I just think this is a team that feels like it's poised to make a run, at least into the Sweet 16, maybe even a little further in the tournament based on where their seeding is in their bracket.
Yeah, the ones that would scare me if I were a fan of Virginia, we were talking about this during the break, and we have a couple of who's on here, you being one of them, and I know you're already upset I'm even bringing this up, but Virginia and Kansas, both out of their conference tournaments early, putting good players, apparently, into the protocol. COVID is still, kind of hovering over this tournament. Now, who's going to be ready to play for those teams when they finally step on the court? That radically changed. Their seeding is based on their season accomplishments, not who may or may not be in the lineup when those teams are on the floor. To me, that's the biggest curveball that some of these potential upsets could, give us, because we don't know who might be ready to go play for some of these best teams in college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough break for my Wahoos having to withdraw from the ACC tournament because of COVID concerns. And the thing is, you know, they don't have the momentum that you're looking for once you're going into tournament play, right? A big part of how successful you are in the postseason in any sport is being able to have momentum and hitting your stride at the right time and having that interruption, not being able to practice until they got to Indy on Thursday. I just feel like that's something that's tough to overcome. That being said, they're a more talented team than Ohio. Now, I know that Jay Billis and Jalen Rose and others that follow the sport much more closely are picking that as their upset with the 4-13 matchup. But I don't want to believe that my Wahoos are going out like that. After all, we are the reigning defending national champions.
There's no doubt. There are a couple teams that I had a chance to call games for, Big 12 especially, but also in the Big 10, that I think are really dangerous. Texas Tech. Texas Tech is just a tough-as-nails basketball team. And no matter how close the game is, no matter how much of almost like a rock fight it might become, they will get into a fight with you, and not literally, but figuratively, they will fight you tooth and nail down to the last second. And Mac McClung is a big shot taker and a big shot maker. And Texas also has that kind of guard play. They have one of those old school Syracuse wingtip athletic offensive line, front lines, where if you took like Jericho Sims, Kai Jones, Greg Brown, and put them fingertip to fingertip, they literally might almost go sideline to sideline. So they've got this big athletic front line, and they've got really tough guards. Matt Coleman leads that group. I think Texas and Texas Tech are both teams that could make a run. Oklahoma State, they won the league, you know, or got to the championship game against Texas. Texas won the league, and Oklahoma State upset Baylor. And obviously they got Cade Cunningham, we think might be the number one pick in the draft. They worry me a little bit more. If I had to take a team that I think might make a run, I'm looking for kind of, CeCe, you know, that grittiness. Mm-hmm. And I think Texas and Texas Tech both have that grittiness in their DNA. I'm excited to watch them both play.
Oh, absolutely. But you mentioned Oklahoma State, and I know they get up and down the court, and they leave a lot of teams in it because they're not the best defensive team. But Cade Cunningham sure is a lot of fun to watch, man. That guy can put the ball in the basket. And so I'm looking at him this tournament just to see how he steps up, how he elevates his play, because that's what big-time players do. And if we're talking about him being the number one overall pick in this year's NBA draft, like, you want to see him shine on this stage in this sport.
Yep, and dying to watch Gonzaga play in this tournament as well, because they have been a team that's a one seed or a two seed and maybe a Final Four, you know, combatant, but they've never come into the NCAA tournament as the prohibitive favorite to win the national championship. Some pressure on Gonzaga and Mark Few in this tournament as well. Mike Tannenbaum joins us. Hour number two, Barton Hahn, when we come back, ESPN Radio.